me lose brain. Uh-oh.
You're listening to Tiger Club Radio. I'm Critical Failure, and with me is special guest Gexup. That's you.
Gexup from the Boochow Radio Podcast.
Boochow Radio Podcast. Make sure you check that out. Links will be posted in the forum and the liner notes to this episode. Today we got three songs from the 8-Bit Collective. We're going to look at some ska tunes made with 8-Bit hardware and a couple of things thrown in. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Mega Man 10's coming up. We're going to talk about IndieGames.com, which just released their Best of Freeware Games 2009, Best Shooter Games of 2009, Best Adventure Games of 2009, Best Browser Games, etc., etc. All freeware. This is a huge crop of free games that have just come out you can check out. Also, we're going to talk about all things that are portable. Portable Game Boys, modifications for Game Boys, DS versus PSP, etc., etc. Get things started with our first track, which is called Laser Time, from Seaver, featuring J. Arthur Keats. Song individually by checking out the liner notes of this episode. Now, we're going to talk about a little bit about indie games. IndieGames.com just released their list of the best freeware games of 2009. It's the best adventure game, the best shooter game, the best browser game, etc., etc. Now, the reason why this is exciting news is because each one of these lists feature about 10 to 20 freeware games. So that's a lot of really nice freeware games that are now available, that have always been available, but are now in one spot. See, freeware is always one of those things where, to me, the best way to discover a freeware game is for somebody to tell you about what they've been playing. You see what I'm saying?
But
this,
yeah.
This is a collection of games that have already been played, you know they're good, and you can check them out. So, the last time we talked to Gexup, I mentioned The Marionette, because we were talking about point-and-click games. Did you get the chance to play that at all?
I believe so. You said a point and click. There was like a different adventure game I tried out that was that had the same graphics and gameplay as Grim Fandango.
Yeah.
I forgot the title. I just played it once and I was just amazed that you know something like playing Grim Fandango back in the 90s or you know these days, it takes like so much room and you have to change discs constantly. But playing this adventure game, I was just stunned. I forgot the title. Is it the one that you just said?
I'm pretty sure it's The Marionette. Now that game turned out to be number 3 on the top 10 best adventure games of 2009, which is surprising because I remember when they featured it originally, and I downloaded it and I installed it and I never played it even once. So here I had this game on my hard drive, and I had the little icon in my start menu, and it turns up as number 3 best adventure game of 2009.
Do you agree?
I still have not played it yet. I did go as far as to open up the page and read about it, and apparently it's like a first-person adventure game, a lot like, I don't know if you ever played the Journeyman Project from a long time ago, or one of those games like, Time Commando, I don't know. Old stuff, very good stuff. So we were talking about good indie games of the decade, because now the decade has been brought to a close.
Yeah, because we had this video game, we had this discussion about it since my podcast is planning to do Decade Awards. And what do you think is an indie game of the decade, since you're the professional of indie games?
I'm far from a professional of indie games. But, I mean, for me, all I can say is what has been the biggest influence for me, because there have been a lot of, apparently, I mean, there have been a lot of really good indie games that I haven't played. And indie games is different from freeware games, you know what I mean? A lot of the developers who do downloadable content, I mean, a lot of that stuff is indie, you know, indie developers. Probably the biggest influence on me from an indie game has been a quadrilogy of games made by Yahtzee. Now, Yahtzee is one of those legitimate press reviewers. He's the guy who does zero punctuation. He had an article in PC Gamer, a regular column in PC Gamer, I believe, for a long time. So he makes this four-part series of old games that are a lot like Maniac Mansion. I mean, you played Maniac Mansion back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember Day of the Tentacle. It was just, you know, that was one of my favorite games.
Right. This series...
But to tell you the truth, I never really got a chance to beat that game because there are so many puzzles and keys that you have to use to finally get a chance to, finish up what you're trying to get passed through. That's what the main point about adventure games, but those days were crazy, you know. You know, Maniac Mansion, they come up with the most unbelievable way to solve a puzzle or a key.
Yeah, I definitely didn't beat Maniac Mansion when I was younger. I went back when I was much older and beat it. But this series, from Yahtzee, reminds you a lot of Maniac Mansion. What Maniac Mansion would have been if they could have made it as violent and bloody as they originally intended, or maybe they meant to. Because
they have that in the Japanese version, right?
Yeah, they do have that in the Japanese version. The Famicom version is completely different from the NES version. But they completely the comparison is crazy. I mean, they're two different games. But I definitely recommend this series. It starts with the first game is 5 Days a Stranger, and I did a video on that a long time ago, I think, earlier this year. So the sequel to 5 Days a Stranger is probably my pick for best game of the decade.
Oh, so does that rank up to your? You know, how much you really like Maniac Mansion and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, because the thing is, Maniac Mansion is also so many years old. These games, you know, it's like playing Maniac Mansion again for the first time.
Mm. I remember how point-and-click adventures used to be so big. I remember one of my favorite point-and-click adventures when I was a kid was this really a kid game called Freddy Fish. You ever play that one?
No, never heard of that.
Oh, man, I forgot the developers, but they had that symbol that said HE, and then they had this like another point and click adventure of a car, I guess, that's a cartoon character. I don't know. It's just that I really like Freddy Fish because you know, they come up with a lot of creative stuff to get to point you know, more than just getting to point A to point B, but to finish up everything you know, everything that you need to solve for the plot and everything else.
I think those games had a little bit easier time having a sense of humor, too. Sometimes these days when they try and be funny in games, it seems misplaced or weird. But in adventure games, they can do crazy stuff, and it seemed to fit.
Oh, yeah. I remember how creative Grim Fandango actually was. You know, this is like the most creative and probably the most original video game I have ever played. I'm still shocked that LucasArts is no longer playing making adventure games anymore. Their last one was Monkey Island Adventure, where they used the same engine from Grim Fandango, Grim E, on that very first Monkey Island 3D Adventure.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what's going on in the indie scene right now. I mean, it's a brand new year and a brand new decade, so we can expect all kinds of new titles coming up just around the corner. Let's go ahead and play that second tune, and when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit about portable gaming. The song is called 8-8-Bit from Rotaka here on Tiger Claw Radio. Check out the forums at the Tiger Claw TV website. I will put liner notes for this episode where you can download the songs individually on MP3. Okay, now, we're going to talk a little bit about portable gaming. It's kind of something I've rediscovered with my interest in chiptunes. A friend of mine just gave me my first few DS games. They were Nano Stray, Super Mario Brothers, and The Dark Spire. And he loaned me Scribblenauts. You ever played Scribblenauts?
Yes, I have. It's one of our nominations of Game of the Year in our podcast for DS games. How do you like the game?
You know, it got really mixed reviews because it controls really wonky. And I will say this, it's it's not as like super awesome as I thought it was going to be, but I like it. I mean, people have talked a lot of trash about it, and I really get a kick out of it, honestly.
Seems like mainstream reviewers are trying to be biased just to make sure that their number one video game does not have a higher score. I mean, their number one video game does not have a, you know, lower score than the other, you know. It's like Ocarina of Time has so many flaws, and then there's like another game that has so many flaws.
Can I be honest with you? I've never once played Ocarina of Time. Never.
Wow. You ever played any other Legend of Zelda games?
I was heavy into Legend of Zelda, and then when Ocarina of Time came out, I believe that was like the first 3D Legend of Zelda. That's kind of where I checked out. Just like, and it's not because I stopped liking the series. It was just because, I don't know, I just never got into it after that. I mean,
to be honest with you, I never played Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time when it was released, because I was like so busy with the PS1 and all the games, but I never got a chance to get, you know, my own copy of Ocarina of Time until, say, with the GameCube remix was when it was released.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, wow.
You know, it's on the virtual console.
That I missed.
That'd probably be how I end up playing it. It's on the virtual console.
You can never be too late on playing those games unless if it's an online game and the servers are out, right?
Right. You got a grudge against online games right now, don't you?
Well, wouldn't say grudge, but still
it's Dr. Phil time. How does that make you feel?
My arcade experience is forever done. I'm no longer going to be able to see any of my friends' faces ever again. Now I see all these stupid locals that kind of represent their character, but that does not open door number 3 to see how fat they are.
You know, speaking of which, it's funny you should bring that up, because I remember the first day I brought home like a headset with a microphone on it, and mm-hmm. I was into World of Warcraft at the time, and I put it mm-hmm. on and got voice chat going, and it seemed like it ruined like the atmosphere. Because you'd see, like, the characters would be, like, these big strong guys with swords and armor and stuff. And then, like, uh-huh. the people who are playing them would actually start talking to you. And it'd be like, hi, guys. Like, no, I don't want to hear your mouth breathing into the microphone. It's ruining the fantasy atmosphere.
Yeah, it was never something like that South Park episode. Make
Hold on,
love,
Cheetos and soda. Okay, ready to adventure again.
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass to be texting all those stuff at World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Oh, boy. Back to
Good
DS.
Stuff. Good stuff.
Back to DS. Have you ever played any other DS games lately?
Granted, these are the first DS games I've ever had the chance to play, okay? And I just brought them home last night. So I got to play Scribblenauts, and I played New Super Mario Brothers briefly. And my wife and I have been playing New Super Mario Brothers for the Wii, the one that like just came out here recently. We've been playing that hardcore since Christmas. And that's an incredible game. Like probably one of the best games I've played in a long time.
Yeah, me and Almulia were playing it with my brother, and man, it's like one heck of a time.
the difficulty curve is pretty steep. It gets pretty hard, doesn't it?
Yeah, I always hate it when, you know, there's always like these video game critics who are bashing the game saying that the multiplayer sucked. It does not suck.
It's not that it sucks. It's not that it sucks, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Here's the problem.
Yeah, and also Little Big Planet.
It's local only. People want to see that game played online, and you can't do it.
Yes. Yeah, I understand that. But, you know, it's also, a pain in the ass. I mean, what's also a huge improvement to compared to other platform games that has a mini game, I mean multiplayer in it. You know, something like a Little Big Planet, you are not able to carry your opponent, and it gets a pain in the ass just to wait for them to get to one stage to another. In Super Mario Brothers, oh my goodness, I absolutely love carrying characters. I wish that you can carry like 3 characters at the same time.
it's kind of funny. I mean, that can backfire. I was playing it with my buddy yesterday. And we started, like, we were no longer playing cooperatively, you know what I mean? We were just kind of, like, ribbing each other, and they're like, forget it, I'll throw you in a pit.
Oh, man.
Died, you know how you come back in the bubble? We'd come back in the bubble, and then we wouldn't pop each other.
If they actually have online play, I would so play Super Mario Bros. With you, Critical Failure.
Yeah, good time. So are you going to be around for Doom Night on the 23rd?
Yes. I am fully ready, but here's the problem. A little girl, I mean, I was asleep one morning, and my mom invited her friends over.
I was asleep one morning? Sorry.
Okay, right? One afternoon. Shut the fuck up. All right,
okay,
I was oversleeping like I usually do, all right, and my mom invited her some of her friends, and they brought a little girl, right? This little girl was so smart. She was like only 3 and she knows how to get up the stairs. And she opened my door and she went straight on my computer where I was just like trying to upload all the stuff I recorded from my Donkey Kong Country my Donkey Kong 64 thing. I don't know how she got access to it.
Loading or something?
Yeah, but this is something. She deleted all that stuff, but I still got it on disk, right? My skull tag is deleted.
Dun, 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 dun.
I finally I finally got a chance to find Skull Tag again, but here's the problem. I can't find Doom 2 anywhere.
That's all right. That's all right. After the show, we'll get that set up again. So,
all right.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And any of you listening out there who wish to participate in Doom Night and can't figure out how to get Skull Tag working, write into the show at ajc1490@gmail.com. I will make sure you have a spot at Doom Night, January 23rd, right here, Tiger Claw Entertainment.
Okay. Yeah, I still want to try out this Doom Night and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be a night of like cooperative gaming. We're probably gonna do the invasion mode with like the hordes of zombies rather than doing like death matching or something like that. I mean, that's kind of the way I see it. It really depends on what the horde wants to do, like what the crowd wants to do.
Yeah.
I just got a time frame. Now, this is based on the Eastern American time zone on the East Coast, which is where I'm located. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to stretch from 12 noon to 7 at night.
12 to noon to 7 at night. Okay, I got that.
I will have Skype open the entire time. At that time, you'll be able to go to the forums, the Tiger Claw TV forums, and the official Doom Night topic will contain the information for the specific server we are playing in, and all that I will personally keep up to date. So contact me on Skype, contact me on the forums if you want to get involved. This is going to be I'm hoping that this is going to work out, so maybe we can do something on a larger scale a little bit later on. I think it would be great if we could get like an online gaming group together. Like maybe we can play Doom this time, or maybe, you know, some Bomberman on the Wii next time. Because I think these online games, I think when you play them these days, and you're always playing them with strangers. You know, have you noticed that?
Yeah, I know. I mean, every time I play something like Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, they just jump me into all these people I don't know. And some of them are like campers, some of them are like total experts, and I can't even lay one finger on them. I'm serious.
Yeah, I mean, you just get blown away, and that's another thing, is the difficulty curve. I find that a lot with Bomberman on the Wii. I mean, I got really into Bomberman for a while, but you play with the strangers, and you kind of get lumped in with whoever else is playing. And I mean, those dudes just, whew, I mean, I don't know if they're cheating.
Like they memorize every maze and every angles of fires and all that stuff,
yeah,
right?
It's like I just ain't got time to learn all that stuff. You know,
oh man, they also have a Bomberman game on the PS3.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now what's that?
So you can play local play, you know, you can play local play, and then you can play online play. So you can play like three players at your own house, and then you play like eight more characters at online and all that stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that. I wish more multiplayer these days were like that. I'm serious, because, you know, multiplayers, they could be really cheap when people talk about multiplayer, they don't ever ask, is it online? Because they all expect it's online, right?
Yeah.
Because it seems like games nowadays that has multiplayer has to be online. And if you want to play with your friends, you have to buy a console with the same game. It seems like they're being cheap bastards and all that
stuff.
Yeah.
All right, man. So are you ready for the fail bag?
Yes,
are
I am ready.
It's time for the fail bag.
Woo!
All right, so this week on the fail bag, let me explain if you haven't listened to this portion of the show before. Nobody really writes into the show too much.
Yeah, nobody writes into the show, so you go to another website that has a lot of questions and forums, so you read them off. Yeah, that's it.
So I'm going to read a few topics from GameFAQs.com, and I'm going to read them as if there were letters written into the show. And GexUp here is going to help me answer a few of these questions, because that's what we do. All right, if you wish to write into the show, you're certainly welcome to, and I'll read it off over the air. You can write into ajc1490@gmail.com or post on the forums. Now we're going to start with one from Cinder here. Cinder writes, the old gaming magazines. That topic got me thinking of, I've always been a fan of box art for games, good or bad. I like to see when games grossly misrepresent themselves. What are some games where the box art shows screenshots or even mentions in words something that isn't at all in a game? The only one I can think of is a moment in GoldenEye, which shows a gun that's not at all in the final game. At least I don't ever remember seeing that gun. Huh. I know what he's talking about, and this happened a lot in NES games because box art, you know, they really had to capture your imagination because they could show you things in art that they couldn't do with pixels. So that happened a lot with games like Contra. You know, Contra had that.
Oh yeah, Contra. You know, you can. Because, you know, something like Contra, you can never tell that's like an alien game, right? You always you're thinking that it's a Rambo game, but if you look really closely at that Rambo cover of the NES cover game, box game, oh my goodness, then you realize that there's like an alien right behind those two characters from Contra.
Yeah.
Let's see another one.
Okay, so the next one we're going to read off from Retrotastic. And this might be a good one for you. The Mega Drive is well catered for retro compilations of downloads. There's been a ton of stuff for the Master System. Younger gamers aren't really getting to see it at all. The 8-bit Sonic games in particular. The Saturn deserves some attention as well. Even the Sega/Master CD. The 32X, well, you could possibly leave that. But not enough attention is being given to the Master System. Why no love for the Master System? You know, nobody had a Master System over here. I mean, when I was a kid, I don't remember anybody having one.
Was there a Sonic game in the 8-bit era? No, it was on the 16-bit era.
Yeah, but I believe they remade the Sonic games for the Master System. Like, the Master System underwent this weird era where they remade games for it afterwards. I know they did that with Streets of Rage. The original Streets of Rage came out on the Genesis, but then, like, the year afterward, they put it out on the Master System, 8-bit.
You sure that's not Sega Game Gear?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I remember researching that when I did the Streets of Rage remake video, and I remember the numbers didn't really make sense.
Oh, yeah, I saw that review. That's actually a pretty good that's actually a good review. I actually like that one.
That's a really good game. I mean, it's hard to make a bad video, that game.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I don't know why the Master System doesn't get enough love. Honestly, the more I read about it, the more it seems like a good system, but... a lot of classic systems, I think, their popularity relies on a certain amount of nostalgia. Like, the NES is an awesome system, and everybody loves it, but it obviously has its fair share of shitty games. But the thing
yeah.
is, everybody remembers playing an NES when they were kids, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, in my very first episode of the Boot Chat Radio podcast, when we were doing old games are well-remembered to this day of gaming, I realized that there are like many gamers who've been playing a lot of games during its time, and they're like saying that this game is awesome because they had good memories of it. And then when you go back to the game to their era, oh my goodness, is that you're asking yourself, did this guy have standards when he first played this game?
Yeah, sometimes there are games you just better leave forgotten. You just keep the memories and don't go back to the game. A good example of that is a game called Stunt Race FX that came out for the Super Nintendo. Do you remember that game?
Stunt Race.
It was the Super FX microchip was just making its big debut, and there was only a few games that were made with it. And of course, the big one being Star Fox. The original Star Fox was made with it.
I think I know that. Didn't they also make 3D Ball Fighter? I forgot.
Maybe. There was a couple that I wasn't familiar with. Like, I found one later called, like, something started with a V, something I'd never heard of. But I remember Stunt Race FX I remember loving that when I was a kid, and then I played it again later, and, like, the frame rate was, like, incredible, like, so jerky, and I couldn't even, it's like, what? Like, so it's weird, like, you play things when you're a kid, and then you remember them as awesome, and then you play them later, and it's just not the same.
I know, right? I mean, like, for example, I play like I remember I played Bubsy when I was a kid. I used to be so crazy for Bubsy because he was like so wild and all that stuff. Not Bubsy 3D, the one from the Super NES game. And then when I realized that there was a Bubsy 3D when I was older and finally got into game trailers and with better research,
right?
I was just shocked of how awful it was. And then when I played Bubsy on the 2D game, I was like saying to myself, oh my goodness, I can't enjoy this game because I experienced something that was just horrible about the series.
Well, that's the classic pitfall of classic gaming. You know what I mean? That's something that we all deal with at one point or another. Now
there's always something that will ruin a moment.
That's it. And then you just can't, It's crazy. Now I have one last message from the fail bag from Golden Maven. This is older games. What older games are there that still have active online? The obvious ones are StarCraft, Warcraft 3, Counter-Strike, and Diablo 2. What else?
Doom,
yeah, Doom. With
you know what's also surprising?
What's that?
EverQuest is still uploaded. I mean, still the servers of EverQuest is still up there, right?
Which one? The first one?
I think so.
Are they really?
I don't know. I heard it from video game news when I was reading some articles.
I haven't thought about it.
And oh my goodness, I was like saying to myself, who in the hell is still playing that? That's more pathetic than playing World of Warcraft, in my opinion.
I had a lot of fun with that game way before World of Warcraft ever came out. My older brother had it living at home. But, I mean, once World of Warcraft came out, there was no looking back.
How about Ultima Online? Is it still up there, running?
I don't know. I'm not sure. That was another one I never really got the chance to get into. I think Ultima Online was the competitor of the original EverQuest, right?
Right, that's right.
Right, and I don't know.
Doom is still up there.
What's that?
I mean, not Doom, I mean Diablo 2, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, Diablo 2 is a good game.
Oh man, the most addicting game of all time, one of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting another copy of that. So that's the fail bag. That's pretty much the fail bag. So, what did you think of your first time on Tiger Claw Radio, Gexup?
I enjoyed it, my friend.
Well, we definitely enjoyed having you. I hope to see you on the Doom Night. Looking forward to the next episode of the Boot Chip Podcast. And on the liner notes for this particular episode, there will be a link to the Boot Chow Radio Podcast. If you want to check it out. I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We're going to leave you with a tune from the 8-Bit Collective. It's by a guy named Crazy Game, and the song is called Wake Up. I am Critical Failure with Gexup.
And I am Gexup.
Signing off.
Yeah.